We're certainly happy to have you back with us for the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and again this morning as we focus our attention on Christmas, I want to just share something exciting with you. I want to share with you God's providence at Christmas. The timing of the conception of the Lord Jesus was amazing. And as we read the story in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, it's just amazing exactly how it happened. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused, or engaged, so to speak, to Joseph, before they came together, no sexual union yet, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, minded to divorce her, because they had not begun to live together as husband and wife, and now she's with child, and he has no clue what's going on. But it says in verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, the timing of the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ was crucial. Notice it came after the betrothal period, so it couldn't disqualify her for betrothal, but before the marriage, so that the child was clearly not Joseph's. Now, betrothal period was basically where a man and woman were promised to each other, and they went through the process of betrothal. It's kind of like engagement, only more serious. In fact, to break that relationship, it would take an actual divorce. But during this time, the husband was building the house for his new wife. They had not begun to live together, and so there was a period of waiting. But all of a sudden, Joseph finds out she is expecting a baby. Now, can you imagine how Joseph was just shocked and grieved and hurt all in the same time? Sometimes that happens to us, doesn't it? You know, it's easy to say God is good all the time by faith when everything's going great. But have you ever questioned that God is good all the time business when everything's falling apart, when you have no clue what's going on? I want to call your attention to two verses. Would you write them down? Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 12. It helps us to understand God's sovereignty and his providence. Ephesians 1, 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him," get it, "who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." Now notice the phrase, "the counsel of his own will." In other words, we see that God is a sovereign God. He does what he wants to do and what he knows is best. And then also notice the fact that we should accept his will so that we can be to the praise of his glory. When we gripe about his will, when we don't understand it and we question it, then we certainly can't live a life that is to the praise of his glory. And note, the only way that we can do that is to first trust in Christ. Now, you only trust in Christ when you are simply saying, "Lord, I don't completely understand it, but I believe you." Now, that happens when you get saved, but it also happens concerning your sustenance and your daily lifestyle. Who first trusted in Christ. Now, let's see how all this pans out in God's providence at Christmas. First of all, notice the providence in the conception. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Has it ever occurred to you that God could have forewarned Joseph just as he had informed Mary about the birth of the Christ child and how it was all going to be happening? See, he had to tell Mary, but he didn't tell Joseph. Instead, God allowed him to discover it on his own before any explanation from God. He finds out from Mary, and the story that she tells him is just so amazing that he does not believe it. You can imagine the pain that he had to experience to believe that the one he loved the most had seemingly been unfaithful to him. And think of the greater pain as he contemplated actually revealing her unfaithfulness to the judges and having her publicly stoned, because that was one of the choices, either to privately divorce her or have her publicly stoned for being unfaithful during that betrothal period. Think of the disbelief when Mary told him how she got pregnant. Now, couldn't God have relieved all this stress by simply telling Joseph ahead of time? But you have to just stop and say, now, wait a minute, God, you're in control. You know what's best. And just as God did with Joseph, God does with us sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't unfold everything for us and seems to make things harder for us. We don't understand, whether it's a financial situation or a relationship situation or maybe a physical situation that you're facing or maybe a job or whatever it is, and you don't understand, Lord, and you cry out to God, why, Lord? Now, all these details were providentially arranged to preserve the validity of the event. See, Mary obviously had to know ahead of time to explain what was going on in her body and the changes that were taking place with the development of the Christ child. But it was essential that Joseph have no prior knowledge of her pregnancy whatever. You can imagine that if both Joseph and Mary knew about her pregnancy, it'd be very easy for people to have suspected the two of them of being guilty of immorality together. But because Joseph was so incensed, he was so just torn out of shape, they could immediately see, wow, Joseph had nothing to do with this. But if the angel had told Joseph ahead of time, he could not have carried out the plan of God. And so consequently, God providentially protected them both by keeping Joseph in the dark. Isn't that interesting? You see, we can trust the providence of God even when we would like to know all the details, and God says no. Well, how about the providence in the census? You remember Luke chapter 2, where the Bible talks about a special decree going out where they were going to have to go up to Bethlehem? And it says that a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made by when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. They all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And of course, she gave birth to the Lord Jesus in the city of Bethlehem. Now, let's talk about that. See, God had to get Mary and Joseph to the birthplace that he had prophesied 7 centuries before that was going to be the place of Jesus' birth. Remember Micah 5:2, where it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." In other words, this baby, this Christ child, has never had a beginning. His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting in the past. And so they had to somehow get to Bethlehem. Now, why didn't God just simply direct Joseph and Mary the same way he had about the birth? Why get Caesar Augustus involved? You see, dreams and angelic appearances can be fabricated. It'd be very easy for Joseph to tell the story, I had a dream, or an angel came to me and said that we were supposed to be going up to Bethlehem, and they would say, well, how convenient. So you're trying to prove that this is the Christ child by having this baby born in Bethlehem. Wow, that works out really nicely for you, doesn't it? Another dream, huh? My, isn't that a coincidence? But you see, nobody could accuse Joseph of fabricating a Messiah by simply moving to Bethlehem for his birth and alleging its fulfillment after the call for the census came. Because when the census came, everybody was required to go to the city from whence their forefathers came, and that was Bethlehem. Now, if it had been Joseph and Mary's scheme, don't you think they'd have planned to have taken the trip a little bit earlier, instead of having Mary traveling on the back of a donkey the exact day that Jesus is born? I mean, come on. If it had been their plan, yeah, they'd have arrived much earlier. But you can see the providence of God, even in the Roman census, of getting them in the correct place without their foreknowledge of why. Then notice also the providence in contacting the shepherds. Remember Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20? It's talking about the shepherds caring for the sheep. They were destined to be the sacrificial lambs in the services in the temple nearby. And they were getting their sheep ready. They were just protecting them, make sure that they would be ready when they heard the final Lamb of God was being born. And here they are in the fields, and all of a sudden, they hear the angels talking about the birth of, yes, the Lamb of God. Now, what do you think their thought was when they came and found the Lord Jesus in a feeding trough? That's a manger. Didn't they think it was just kind of strange that this just wasn't right, that the King of Heaven, announced by the angels, had nowhere to lay his head? You know, I kind of wonder if after they saw him and realized who he was because of the angel's message and they worshiped him, don't you think maybe it was possible that one of them who lived right there in that area may have offered his home to the family after that night? In fact, that could have been the very home where the wise men entered in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, because it wasn't a manger scene where the wise men approached. It was a house. So you see the providence in the conception, the providence in the census, the providence in contacting the shepherds. You see, God is in control. And when you consider the fact that God is in control of his story, what an awesome source of peace and comfort it is to know that God is the one who's in control of our lives as well. And as we enter this Christmas season, we realize that God is in control of everything that we face when we know him as our personal Savior. And I want this to be a season where you are able to rest in him, where you're able to say, Lord, I'm going to learn to trust you more. You probably have a few things you could be worried about during this season. And the Lord is simply saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Christ child brings when he becomes your personal Savior and enters your heart. And so until the next time, may the Lord bless you with a wonderful Christmas season.